We're going to be moving in mysteries today, amen? Powerful mysteries, things that are right in front of your face. It's just amazing. Turn your Bible to John 4. Lord, I ask you not just to help me minister this word, but to shift us into where you want us, into where you are, to where you're standing, into who we are as a generation. We thank you for your words that have the power to get us there, to stand with you where you are in the finished realm. And we give you the glory and honor. Amen. We'll pick this up in John 4, verse 32. He said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Now, what he's actually going to do is he's actually going to take them on a journey in the next five or six verses. He's going to shift them four times. But listen, he is the eternal word speaking. He does not say anything arbitrarily. And he's going to move them four times in four or five verses. Amen? Literally, he's going to move them into a realm. And the only way he could do that is he would have to be in front of them every time he spoke. He's actually going to move four times while he's standing there in front of them. Amen? You can't lead somebody or speak to somebody from a realm that you're not standing in. You would always say, it's soon or someday. And you can't do that the way he's doing it unless he was standing there. He was the word that was, the word that is, the word that is to come. So he had the innate ability to shift them. That same word is going to shift us if we understand who we are. And there has to be a huge revelation. Romans 12 says the renewing of our mind. We're going to have to have a serious, serious renewal of understanding of who we are in him if we're going to get there. People think that God's just going to drop this. Well, you'll see he can't just drop this. You have to move. We have to move. We have to move from where we are into where he is before we see what it is that we are looking for. Amen? Glory God. The good thing is he's been training us this for a while, because that's what he intends to do. And this is getting really big now, because I'm starting to see what he really wants for us in this generation. So he says, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Of course, being disciples, you know, they're thinking in earthly terms. He goes, has any man brought him something to eat? Which one of you brought him something to eat? He is in another realm. He's about to introduce them to the realm he's in. See, it's possible to stand next to somebody and be way, way apart. One person can be standing in a dispensation and standing next to you, but be in another dispensation altogether. One person can be standing next to you and be in a future position. What we do is we wait for the encounter. God, encounter me, take me there. But if I'm going to live by encounter, I got to wait for the next encounter. But if I live by his word, I can go and encounter it at will by faith. Be unto me according to my faith, not be unto me according to the next encounter. I don't want to live by encounter. I love them when they come, but God's never led me by encounter. Not ever. He's always led me by this word. And this word is awesome, contagious. So verse 34 says, Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of the Father that sent me and finish his work. Before you can even get started, I have to finish. And I'm going to finish this thing before you even get started, because you're not a generation that's going to sow, a generation that's going to reap from what I'm about to do. I am the single solitary corn of wheat. John chapter 12. The Father is going to sow me. And when he does, when I die and when I fall into the ground and die, then you'll bear the fruit. Then you'll come out as the reapers that you are. Isn't it amazing? Run over to John 12 real quick, because I want you to see he said this right here. I'm going to repeat what I just said. Verse 24. Verily I say to you, except a corn of wheat falls on the ground and dies, it will abide alone. He's speaking of himself. When you hear in John 4 in a minute, I want you to remember this when he says others planted. Because he's talking about himself, the law, the prophets, John, Abraham, everyone that preceded him and getting him into the earth. They were the planters. They were the sowers. They were the ones that were doing the work to get this corn of wheat into the earth. When they got him into the earth, it was for one thing, for this day, for him to fall into the earth and die and produce a new creation, born in the image of God, to operate like God, to act like God, to represent God in fullness of power and authority. And he said, you would bring forth much fruit. He that loveth his life will lose it. He that hateth his life will keep it. Verse 26. If any man would serve me, let him follow me where I am. I'm going to take you to the cross. I'm going to take you to the Father. And I'm going to take you into the realm beyond. I'm going to take you into the mysteries of how we do what we do in creation. How what we do what we do in the miracles you see. How we do what we do. I'm going to bring you into the mysteries of how it works. If it just falls on you and you don't know how it works, you're not going to keep it very long. You should study revivals. Revivals that people receive through like a transference, it'll end up blowing their churches up. It'll blow them up. If they don't know how to keep it, which a lot of them don't, they'll end up losing it. And it'd be better not even to be in the house after you lose it. When you go up this high and you drop down from the sky, we had that happen to us once in a conference and it was not fun to be elevated in such a realm of God and be dropped out. Now notice what he says, follow me. Be with me. I'm going to open the door for you to be with me where I am. Now go back to John 4, because he's going to get into really where he was at. He says, my meat is to do his will. I have to finish his work. I have to complete it. He goes, because when I begin you, watch this. I'm not beginning you in the beginning. I'm beginning you in the end. Your life is going to begin in the end. You're not even classified anymore as one who plants and one who sows. You're not even going to be classified. So he's going to make a distinction here between two different operations in these next verses. And he's going to put you in one of those and make very clear to you what you're not and what you are. Amen. He told me, he goes, the best way to read this, he said, read it like this. So I'm going to read it the way he told me to read it. And boy, it really did something. He goes, Jesus said unto him, look at verse 35. Say not you. Some translations say, do not say. Or some translations say, you not. Do you not say? Or do not say. It doesn't really matter. Because he's saying, don't say it. He's going to make a distinction. He says, say not you that there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Say not you. Isn't that normal? 4 months then cometh harvest. He said it, read it like this. From where you are, you say 4 months and then cometh harvest. From where I am, he says, I don't say that. What I say from where I am is lift up your eyes, look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Look your eyes, look up, look upon the fields are already white. You say from where you are, there is 4 months, then you're going to get there. Soon. Give me a sign. If you're asking for a sign, you're not ready for this generation. So he says, stage one, say not, there are 4 months. In other words, recognize you're going to need a realignment of where you are. Recognize you're going to need a realignment of who you are. Recognize you need a realignment of what you are. You're not a sower. Others sowed. He's talking to them. If he's talking to them where they were, you can imagine what he has to say about us. They are on the foundations of a brand new creation reality kingdom manifest in the earth. And he tells them specifically, you are not sowers. Others went before you. They did the work. They sowed. They finished it. You're not classified even in that group. So don't even say 4 months, then comes the harvest, because that's not even where I'm going to begin you. I'm not starting you as a sower, as a planter, as a worker. I am starting you as a finisher, as a completer, as a reaper. That's stage one. We got to get you out of sowing the field, bearing the burden of the heat of the day. That's stage one. Stage two, what's he say to them? He's got to move them by changing what they're looking at. You're looking at it from the beginning. You're looking at it, we got to plant, we got to wait. Wait on the Lord. 4 months and then comes harvest. I say, come over to be with me where I am. Lift up your eyes, get them off of where you are in the beginning and move them to the end. Move them to the finish. Move them into the reaping realm because you are not sowers. Say, I am not a sower. I am a reaper. We are a reaping generation that will reap a harvest that we did not sow. A lot of times when we see that, we see all the men that went before us in this generation. He's not talking about, he's talking about all the ones that went before to get him into the earth, to get him the seed. He goes, when I'm in the earth, I'll produce the new creation. When I produce the new creation, I'll finish it. And then we'll begin. But we're not going to begin in the beginning. We're going to begin in the end. He goes, don't even look in the beginning. I say is the word. Lift up your eyes. Move them from the beginning. Move them in. Set them into the field and look at the white harvest. That was stage two. Move what you're looking at. And come over what I'm looking at. Look on the fields. They're white already for harvest. Can you see them? They're already white. You got to get out from where you are to where I am. He's still got two more phases to go. Say, look up. Look on the fields. Set your eyes on what I'm looking at. Set your eyes on the finished work. Set your eyes on harvest. Amos said there would be a generation of sowers that would actually overtake the reaper. And a generation they would get born again, basically. But then they would learn how to overtake the reaping process. They would stand in the fields and reap where they did not sow. We're going to have to be trained for this. God is going to have to enter that brain of yours and explode revelation after revelation after revelation after revelation after revelation. And one of the big ones is do not say anymore. 4 months then come of the harvest. I have finished this. It is done. I am going to start you at a done place. Now, I understand you got to get born again. You got to understand some things, but I am not talking to first graders. We stopped talking to first graders a long time ago. We are not even talking really into high school. We're in advanced college. Amen. We're in advanced school of understanding of a reaping generation in which God is training us how to reap with him. He goes, you cannot reap with me if you're out of position. If you are over there trying to sow, you're in works. You're not in the grace. If you're trying to do it, you're in works, not in the grace. If you're still trying to make this happen, if you're still trying to help me out, you're out of position. You got to go land where I am in a done realm. I'm going to parachute you out from where you are like a jet. I'm going to shoot you out and you're going to parachute into a field that's white. What are you looking at? Well, they don't look very good around systems and all that. you're looking at the wrong thing. The Lord told me, he goes, you can look at all the news you want to look at. He goes, but none of that's going to get any better. If you want my plan, you're not going to find it out there. If you want the evidence of what I'm doing, you're going to have to find it in not just my word, but the mysteries of my word. You're going to have to find it in the realm of the Father. You're going to have to lift up your eyes and set them somewhere else that others are not looking. That's phase two. Now, phase three, he that reapeth receiveth the reward. He'll gather the fruit of eternal life in. Both he that soweth may rejoice together. Herein the saying's true. One will sow, another will reap. Now watch this. Where's he standing now when he speaks this verse? He was, I have meat to eat you know not of. Lift up your eyes. Come look at what I'm looking at. Look, the fields are white already. But now he goes and moves on further. He's standing in front of them, but he has moved way in front of them. He's post-cross now. He is post-resurrection. And he's now at the right hand of God, commissioning them and sending them. He didn't say, I'm going to send you into wheel. He did not say that. I sent you into fields. Did he say, I'm going to send you? Or he's, I sent. He did the Abraham thing. He did the face of God thing like he did with Jacob, like he did with Joshua, like he did with Abraham. He walks out in somewhere they're not standing. And he says, I sent you to those fields you're looking at now. You couldn't even see it. You still saw it. When we first started this conversation, there was 4 months in came harvest. Then I got you to look at the harvest. Now I've sent you there. Where's he standing when he said that? He walks out over here. After his resurrection, he's the word. He's not bound to time. He goes, oh, by the way, I sent you into those fields you're looking at. I sent you. One sowed, another reap. I sent you as for one purpose, to reap where you did not sow. Say, reap where you did not sow. If you want to be a sower, have at it, but you will miss the generation of reapers. A reaping generation is going to have to learn a few things about God. It's not just about here I am, send me. It's about understanding how to go and stand in the field you're about to reap before you get there. It's about seeing it, saying it, living in it. Before you ever arrive, before it ever manifests, you have to be there. The reapers are going to dwell there before it ever manifests in the earth. That is what this generation is about to get exposed to. How to transfer, translate, transfigure. The sower sowed the word unto you has been given the mysteries about what I've done. I'm finished this thing. I already did the sowing for you. What I'm giving you is the capacity to reap with me. Say, I'm a reaper. But he's still not done. He said, I sent you to reap. Okay, so let's stage one. Where were they? Look at it. 4 months. God's going to do something mighty. There's coming a day. Well, there's coming a day. God, come and get me. Come, Father, with all that day. We see it. We know there's a day. Everybody does that. But then as we keep his word, as we hold his word translates us to the day. Walk on over to the day. You want to talk about perambulation? I'm looking at a land full of fun. That's a big step for a lot of people, because a lot of people can't even envision a future that's full, bright, full of harvest. It don't matter whether it's ministerial harvest or your harvest. They can't hardly envision anything because they're still living in the day back here, controlled by another system. Because I'm going to get you out of that system. I'm going to go to my system. Look on the fields. They're white. They're glorious. They're beautiful. Inflation really got me going right now. You're in the wrong day. This day, the kingdom of God, you can write this down, is not subject to inflation. I can promise you, right now, it's not subjected to evil people. Listen, Jesus was operating the kingdom under the Roman Empire rule, and it had zero effect on him. And he was under the Roman occupation rule, and it didn't bother him one minute. They said, well, do you pay taxes? He said, show me the subscription. Whose subscription? Render to him what belongs to him. Render to me what belongs to me. Did your master pay taxes? Peter, you and Chuck go fishing. And the first fish that comes out, there'll be a coin in his mouth. You pay it for him and me, and let's get on about our father's business. Who would like to operate like that? Show me the fish! Okay, that was phase three then. He goes, I sent you. But now, look what the NIV says. Now watch how the NIV says it. See if y'all can discern what phase four is. Ready? I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. That generation was born under law. All they knew was to work for it. And God says, you've got to come out of all that. Because what I'm going to give you, you're not working for. It won't be by might. It won't be by power. Well, then I hear people, well, then see, you don't do nothing. You just wait on the Lord. He's got to do it. You don't do nothing. I'm like, you will sit and wait a lifetime like that. That is not what he's saying. There is a work, and there's only one sanctioned work when you're dealing with the kingdom of heaven and inheritance. And that sanctioned work is one word, believe. This is the work. Master, what do we have to do what you do? He goes, this is the work that you believe. That is what I will allow you to do. The rest I'm going to do. How many of us are occupying our day with a very specific belief system that's moving into realms that are beyond where we're at? If we're not occupying and getting our belief system moving out into something else, how is he going to manifest it? I say, I am the reaping generation. I am a reaper. You should walk around all day, all this week. I am a reaper. The days of sowing are over. The days of working are over. I'm going to quit my job and go out. No, you are going to go out there and go broke. You're going to reap a field with him. It don't matter what field. He's just going to teach you how to do it his way and not your way. It's going to be Yahweh. It's going to be done out of grace. Without works. And the higher levels are going to be done like we're talking about now, where you're going to lift up your eyes and set them on to a harvest field that's already white, that's already finished. And you're going to move your being in there every day and look at it. And then I'm going to send you to reap it. And then you're going to fourth phase, reap it. He actually spoke it. He moved them four times. NIV. He says, I sent you to reap. What you have not worked for, others have done the work. We already did the work. The law, the prophets, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, John, me as the seed. We did the work for you. I am the seed that's going into the ground. We're done here. He says, and you have what? You have reaped. Not going to reap, reaped. The benefits of their labor. So where was he standing there? They were standing 4 months. He was standing in the fields. Come look at the fields. While you're looking at the fields, I'll go in front of you. Now I sent you to those fields. And while you're being sent, I'll go in front again. You reap those fields. That was the word that spoke. He spoke all that. He shifted them like that. Don't you wish it'd be that easy? It is. We just have to learn to get into it. He's moving. Boom, 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 boom. Let me give you an illustration that'll help you understand what he's really talking about. Go to Matthew 18:19. It was so amazing because this revelation was given to me in the very beginning alongside the olive trees. I understood it. I didn't know how to go over there, but I understood what he was saying. I'm going to share another way to see this. What he's trying to get over. Because we have to make that adjustment if we're going to do and be a part of what he wants to do. But he's sending us help. That's what the seven spirits of God are coming down for. The baptism of the seven spirits of God is going to baptize us in the understanding of the reaping generation. We're here to reap the crown. We are not here for any other purpose. It's all been sowed. It's all been done. It's all been completed. The Father's will was accomplished a long time before you were ever born. You are here now to learn how to reap what we've already done. This is the rich young ruler approaches the Lord. So he comes and he says, good master. This is a wealthy guy. He'd been hanging around with all the Jewish elites for a long time. He had all been flattering him. And he's money, and they all knew he was money. He was the man in town. He walks up to the Lord. Good master. What good thing must I do to enter in, to have eternal life, to be saved? Notice what the Lord didn't say. First he said, don't call me good. He goes, don't flatter me. We're not going to get anywhere. But if you will be perfect, he didn't say, if you will be saved. He didn't come back to him. If you want to be saved, you got to keep all this and give all your money. He didn't say that. He said, if you want to be perfect. He goes, I've already kept all these things. He goes, you know the commandment. He's still dealing with him in the law. Keep it. Stay with it. And then follow me. You know it. Stay with it. This man knew God. He wasn't evil. He just had a lot of money. He says, I've done all this from my youth up. The Lord saw the zeal in his heart. He saw the love. He saw he wanted that man right there had serious kingdom potential. Notice what the Lord said. We all look at this as a salvation issue. And notice his word he says to him. He didn't say, if you're going to be saved, go and give all that you have, feed the poor, and thou shalt be saved. He did not say that. He says, if you want to be perfect, you want to go to completion with me? You want to go to finality? You want to go the gauntlet with me? You want to know what I'm about? You want to know? He goes, then what got you that? Let's give it away right now because it's going to get in the way. Let's unload your sufficiency right now. Give it to the poor. He didn't even say, he said, go get the poor, follow me, and I'll show you how to really do this kingdom thing. I'll show you how to be a reaper. You think what you got is money? He goes, Solomon, a greater. He didn't say it, but he goes, look, a greater. He said it before, a greater than Solomon standing in front of you. You think you got money? Follow me. Wonder what God would have designed that man to do. He probably would have paid for the whole church. He missed his calling, so God had to put that calling on the church of the Macedonian, the church of Philippi, a whole church called the anointing. But that man could have caught it, one man. Jesus would have apostled him. He'd have been according the rank of the apostles as a businessman, a gospel entrepreneur businessman in the rank of the apostles. And the Lord himself would have mentored him in kingdom finance, and he walked away from it. He didn't walk away from his salvation. Well, he did say, if you read it right there, how hardly can a rich man, because these disciples, did any of them ever know what he was talking about? We just talked about the food. He said, who brought him food? They never were in line with what he was doing. Because they're thinking, and so Peter, had to be Peter, I'm pretty sure it was Peter, highly likely. We'll put it in that category. Let's just read Matthew 19. So, yeah, verse 22, if you'll sell all. And when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful. He had great possessions. He missed the Solomon anointing. Then said Jesus, his disciples, verily I say unto you, a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. See right there? That's what he's talking about. Well, if you'd have let him finish his teaching, you would have understood what kingdom he was talking about, because he wasn't talking about salvation. He was talking about how to operate in this kingdom. And he said, how hardly can a rich man enter into the way of my kingdom? And the disciples boldly interrupts and said, then how can a man be saved? All things impossible, man, but with God, all things are possible. Now let me get back to my teaching. It's easier for the camel to go through the eye of the needle than that rich man to enter into my kingdom, because he trusts in the sufficiency of his own system that gains him that wealth. And he's never going to learn how I do it, because he can't let go the way he does it. And the only way I'm going to get him to let go, if he'll let go of it and come and do this with me. I'll squeeze him through the eye of the needle. He'll unload his sufficiency. He'll unload his baggage. He'll underload the way of the world, and I'll teach him the way of the kingdom. And in how the kingdom I'm going to teach him operates just like this. And he goes into his verse. After he interrupts, he explains all to them, and then Peter goes, okay, well, we have forsaken all to follow you. What do we get out of it? The Lord is patient that day. He goes, no man's left houses, lands, family, for my sake, will not reap 100-fold in this lifetime. Now, can I please get back to my teaching? Look at Matthew 20. You see verse 1? What's it say? For the kingdom of God. Back up to Matthew 19. And what does it say when he's talking about verse 23 and 24? Again, I say to you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. He goes through the interruptions, he answers the interruptions, and he goes right back for the kingdom of heaven that they don't know how to operate in, operates like this. So now he gets into this parable. Rich man walked away. He missed the parable. And the Lord says, this is how it operates. This is where I was trying to get him. And he talks about a field. They that went out to sow. One went out at 6. One went out at 9. One went out at noon. One went out at 3. One went out at 5 o'clock. 6 o'clock, it was over. The day is over. Where do you think we are? So the 5 o'clock hour. Now, in the light of what he spoke to his disciples, are you sowers or are you reapers? So if you're a reaper, what time are you going out? What time was a 6 o'clock morning? We have borne the burden of the heat of the day. And these guys come out at 5 o'clock and you pay them the same things you pay us? They didn't do nothing. They didn't work. You see, works, grace. Works, toil, labor, works. You want to be a sower? Do you want to be a reaper? Because if you want to be a sower, get after it. Because you're in a wrong kingdom. You're trying to labor into a kingdom in which the labor's already been done. The seed has already been planted. It's already gone into heaven. It's already received its reward. All we are now are reapers. This whole generation is here to reap the glorious harvest of his crown. We cannot work for what's coming. We don't deserve it. There's no more time of planning. It's already done. We're not going to do anything. We're going to do what's already done. We're going to believe in the done realm. So the guy comes out at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. How much work you think he's actually doing? He just picks it up. He doesn't even break a sweat. He reaps the entire day free. Grace, you better get a reaping mentality. If you're going to walk with God in this hour, you're going to find yourself in the wrong part of the vineyard. You can get stuck in the wrong part of the vineyard. I love these guys. Oh my goodness. They get saved and then they go clothe themselves. They get clothed in works. They start doing the law. They start doing everything. They start keeping Sabbath. Why? He goes, why are you even being entangled in what I set you free from? But that's just one phase. What about toil and labor? Those are systems that are governing the world. He said, in the 5 o'clock hour with me, I need you to get one thing straight. And if you didn't hear anything today, you are a reaper. You are not going out for any other purpose. You're going to take that sickle or sit on that combine tractor in your generation and you're going to go reap freely. Other men labored, other men planted. I gave my life as the seed. God has already given the harvest. It's all been laid up in the heavenly realms. It's already been finished. You are not here to do or make any of that happen. You are here to reap what's already been done. Now, what hour do you want to go out in? 5 o'clock, baby! Do you have any idea the generation we're living in? The generation that gets to go out at 5 o'clock in the afternoon? The worst thing we can do is be out of alignment. standing in the 5 o'clock acting like we just got out there at 6 o'clock in the morning. We have to be delivered from toil, delivered from works, delivered from systems. How do we do that? Lift up your eyes. Go stand in the field that's already done. Lift up your eyes. Get to know God. Let him give you a vision of the done realm and go stand in it. Speak from that realm. Get in the face of God. Let it shift you. Let it move you past where you are. We have something now. We can live in a realm and speak to the devil and the principalities of this realm says, listen, your defense is parted from you because I stand in a realm beyond you. I get to go into a realm that you don't get to go. You're bound by time. I'm not. I've overcome time. I get to go stand in the finish line that's finished and done, and you only get to do this. I get to go that. I get to do that. I am a reaper. And the first thing about being a reaper is I don't stand in the beginning anymore. I don't stand on the wrong side of the shovel. I don't stand in the wrong side. I stand in fields that are done, not fields that are beginning. I stand in finished work. Completion, done, finished. Glorious realms that are given to us from our Father already. And I believe God. It shall be even as I have seen. I perambulate and I walk out from this realm, which I am required. The enemy wants to beat you down this realm. He wants you to work. He wants you to toil. He wants you to labor. He wants to keep you. I want to move out. How to move out? The first stage of moving out is move up. Get out. Get out of this realm. Go up. Reclothe into something else. Come back down. Because I'm going to get into my clothing. My joint air clothing. Then come back down here and go walk out in another realm. Do you know we do this every day and have been learning about it? And the whole day has been created. It's not a 24-hour day. It's a whole season of light that's already been painted. It's already been walked out. That's already been perambulated, joyed over, cried over, wept over, happy, glorious days where God, we would be walking out in a future position and God would come and encounter us there. I'm like, wait a minute, you're encountering me in the place I'm not even at yet. Like it's already done. He says, welcome to my world. And God would meet us out there in all this glory and we would come out. Oh my God, we were living in our future and God met me out in my future. And he loved me there with all this glorious, beautiful multiplication. He swarmed me with his goodness. Then I walk back in this realm. I'm like, why do I want to live here? I go back and I go back. But now I'm coming back in this realm. I don't care what it looks like. I'm bringing that realm back so strong now. I speak to this one. I say, you will conform and obey and follow me where I just been. Bow down, O mountains. Be thou loose, collapse, and follow me with goodness, mercy, signs, miracles, and wonders will follow. You better get somewhere if something's going to follow you. You better get out in front if something's going to start following you. Get out into a new day. How do I do that? You keep his word. See, if you value what he has said to you, the way he values it, those words have the power to translate you. Why do you think the devil wants to steal? He's not interested in stealing from you. He's interested in stealing that word in you. Why? It wasn't just any word. He's not after your knowledge. Your knowledge is not a threat to him. It's the word of the kingdom. When the word of the kingdom sown, he already knows what that word can do. If he allows that and he does not come after that word of the kingdom, he knows it'll escape his system. It'll grow past it. He knows the word of kingdom will march you out in the mystery realm, into the Father's realm. Well, he'll lose his authority over you. He'll lose his dominion. So he comes immediately. That's why you very rarely hear the word of the kingdom taught. Because he's constantly trying to squelch it. But the word of the kingdom is going to override his entire system, because there's a crown now coming out of that word of the kingdom. And that crown, seven spirits of God, John gets caught up in the throne. Y'all ready for some meat? My meat is to see the crown. That is my meat. And that's all I live for. I don't see anything else. I can't breathe anything else. I can't look at anything else. I see a new day that's opening, a greater day of the crown. Ooh, it's glorious too. You know what's so amazing? Is in that realm, we go to this realm in that day. And we walk out there. And it's living all the time. It's always full of life. And I'm like, how can this thing just every time give? Give, give. Every time we walk in there, it's, when you do something for 3 years, you think you get tired of it. But you don't. You come back with the same life and the glory every time. And, at least 9 out of 10 times I do. And I'm like, why does that thing keep giving like that? That's not mental ascension. That's life out there. That is a realm that's born out of the life of God. It's born out of the glory of God. And so it'll give the life of God every time you go there. You have a land like that. When John got caught up before the throne, the seven spirits of God were burning as seven lamps before the throne. In Revelation 4, right in front of the face of God, they were burning. In chapter 5, they had moved. The same seven spirits of God are sitting upon the Lamb as seven horns and seven eyes now. We know what that is. Seven is the perfection of wisdom. The horns was the perfection of dominion. The Lamb had been crowned. And then they say, worthy is the Lamb that received the seven inheritances. He'd receive his final inheritance. He'd receive the glory for the last days. He was going to get his reward. The kingdom and the elders, the kingdoms of this world are now will become the kingdoms of our God. It was the final plan of God to be unfolded. That crown, his dominion, a house of David, a house of royalty, would be sent out into the earth. And now it said the seven spirits of God were sent into the earth. They were sent. And it rested upon us. They were burning before the throne before they become a crown, because they were receiving the Father's end time mandate. Every purpose and plan of the Father was being downloaded into the seven spirits of God. And when the download finished, he moved out and became the crown that would be sent into the earth to do the will of the Father. We are reapers with that crown to do the will of that crown in the earth. That crown will outlast our generation. We will be caught up with the Lord. It will go on in and finish the work and judge all nations in the 7-year tribulation, but not before it displays its awesome glory and power, because the 70th year has been fulfilled. That crown's arrival is at hand. We are here to reap with that crown. We are not here to sow. That crown has been finished and completed. It's like the Holy Spirit's coming to baptize us all over again, but he's going to baptize us in the house of David. In that generation, he was taking the house of David up and he was going to remove it from the earth. In this generation, he's bringing it back down. That's what the baptism's about, a house of royalty. We are the beginnings of that royalty. That royal house will go on into a 1,000-year millennial reign. That crown will not leave. It will rule and reign for 1,000 years. And we get the honor of escorting and preparing the way for that thing to come into the earth. Go to Daniel 12. Okay, Daniel 12. Kind of excited about this one, because this particular verse has been read the wrong way. And I think you're going to see something here now. Okay, Daniel 12, verse 3. And they that will be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. They will turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Verse 4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words of this book, seal it, even to the time of the end. Many shall what? Run to. Ever heard that word before? Zechariah 4, run to and fro. Zechariah 10, up and down. Say to and fro, up and down. Many are going to join and run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. The knowledge is not just that knowledge out there. It's the revelation knowledge of the kingdom will be exponentially increased in the last days, and people are going to learn how to reap a kingdom that was already given. We are going to learn how to reap. Whole generation of people are going to pass through the face of God, receive the blessing, receive the Jacob transformation, and then we're going to reap with him and the crown, and we're going to run to and fro the whole earth with the seven spirits of God. We're going to walk up and down in his name, and we're going to run to and fro with him. Why? Because the revelation knowledge increased on who we were, and we became manifested sons of God in the earth. Somebody say amen. Manifested sons of God, walking to and fro, up and down. Because revelation knowledge increased in a mighty sound. The glory of his revelation is increasing to show us who we are. Reading the same Bible our life, all of a sudden the pages are speaking another day, showing us another way how to become reapers where we did not sow. The Lord said, you are not a sower. You are a reaper. Get ready to reap. Let me teach you how to reap. It doesn't matter if it's souls. It doesn't matter if it's the wealth of this world system. It doesn't matter. You're a reaper for the kingdom. This kingdom will reap a harvest of souls and a harvest for God like no other generation ever. I am a reaper. I stand in the 5 o'clock hour. I don't even begin until 5 o'clock comes around. When everybody's day is over, my day is beginning. But I don't work the whole day. I'm only going to work 1 hour. But I'm going to do more than anybody in all those hours combined. I'm going to reap more in 1 hour than a whole generation reaped. I'm going to reap generational wealth out of the kingdom, generational harvest. I'm going to reap with God because that crown is coming and I am aligned with it. And I see the next day, and I'm going to stand with him in the next day, and I'm going to come out of this day. Because as long as I look at this day and complain about this day, I'm not going to have that day. Because that day has nothing to do with this day other than to override it and rewrite it.